County 911. What's the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
All stories are true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome to another episode of the Justice Files. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform, to educate, and engage with our community.
Yeah, now before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone is accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure does make for some interesting stories here on the Justice Files. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than a few moments of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. And we're frequently accused of that crime, but never proven guilty. Let's get into it. There is a resident of unincorporated Breckenridge reported being scammed by the son of a roofing company owner. He alleged that the son used his father's company name in order to secure a $1,500 deposit for roofing work that he never intended to complete.
Oh, imagine that.
How about that?
Yeah, you know, in this world of fraud that you and I seem to talk about more and more, $1,500 doesn't sound like a lot of money unless you don't have $1,500.
Right.
You know, and unless it's your roof getting repaired. But deputies tracked this kid down. They tracked down the company. They tracked down the owner. Then they tracked down the kid. You know, it starts boiling down. And the kid swore that he'd give the money back, but he still got a ticket for it. He still got what we call a summons. In lieu of arrest, he is still going to go to court for it.
So what are the
still
charges?
A crime? I mean, it's still a crime. He stole $1,500 from these people.
There you go.
Yeah, but the good news is they'll get the money back.
That's a good ending to that story.
Yeah, and
wow.
The scams you and I talk about, no one ever gets the money
exactly.
back.
Exactly. That's rare occasions. Oh. Wow. Another fraud item, a Summit County man met up with a seller from the Facebook marketplace and purchased a cell phone. After the transaction, the man experienced buyer's remorse when he figured out the phone was only serviceable in China. And it was basically no use to him.
Quick question. The Vail Pass rest stop, the building specifically, parking lot, is that fall in Summit County's jurisdiction or is that Eagle?
Summit.
You know.
Summit County, yeah. What do you need? Do you need to report something in that?
I bought something off Facebook, phone specifically, and I don't know if the, you know, details of the phone are blocked by the manufacturer. I'm working with them to try and figure it out.
Okay.
But I just didn't know if I need to file a preliminary report that I don't know if the guy knew he sold me something, like a bad phone.
I see. And did this transaction take place at Vail Pass Rest Area?
Yeah, we met up at the rest stop because he was from Vail. I mean, he seems like he's a dude. It's not like he's a sketchy dude. I just, you know, if
sure.
I could file something. So I'm talking to Samsung, and the phone I bought is locked to a Chinese carrier.
Okay.
I am talking to them if there's any way. It looks like from what I looked like online, there's no way due to restrictions. So if a deputy could call me, I'd love to know if there's anything I
sure.
can do, if this becomes a civil matter or, you know,
okay.
if there's, you know, I'm not trying to call him a thief. I don't know if he knew.
Yeah, definitely.
But there's a way I can recover, you know, property.
Okay, great. I'm going to have a deputy give you a phone call right now.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
Got a feeling that he did know exactly what he was selling.
I think our current president has a meeting coming up in China.
Oh,
maybe,
really?
Yeah, maybe he could ask.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we could tap the phones. Find out more.
You know,
see what carrier they have.
Buyer beware.
Buyer
meeting
beware.
Somebody in a parking lot at the top of Vail Pass
wow.
to exchange Good American currency for a Chinese phone.
Something you bought off Facebook Marketplace right away. That should be a red flag. I mean, I'm here to tell you that. I've personally never done any of that, but I don't even want to even think about trying to do that just because of the fraud and the scam potential.
Totally. And yeah. We hear more and more about Facebook Marketplace, people getting scammed. I mean, they're getting scammed. Tom, you and I talk, I just sound like a broken record. We talk about this all the time, whether it be the Justice Files or on the radio on Thursdays. We talk about the latest scams, and it just amazes me. Like, you know, you're trying to buy a $1,000 phone for $50 in a parking lot at the top of Vail Pass on I-70.
The guy looked legit.
He didn't look like a scammer.
Right.
I'd like to know, what does a scammer look like?
Well, they have that very typical scammer look about them.
Oh, yeah. That look. Yeah.
If you saw it, you'd know it.
I wonder if there's scammer masks you can buy at Halloween. Like, this
probably
is what a scammer looks like.
Yeah. Huh. Absolutely.
Hey, you know, maybe we should look into that.
We could license the product. We'll make a million.
We could scam people.
Yeah. Holy cow. Hey, a whole new scam.
It's not the sheriff. It's like a scammer. Look at the mask.
Scam on top of a scam. Wow.
So if I was wearing my uniform and I wore it, could I get away with whatever I wanted? Because it's not really me. It's
right.
The scammer.
It's the scammer. I could tell by the mask.
We're going to be rich, Tom.
Oh, man.
We're not going to need jobs.
We've got ideas galore here. So what happened? Did he get this phone unlocked with the Chinese carrier?
No. Unfortunately, the deputy gave him the sad news of there's no reporting what you think might end up being a crime. Like, you've got to... We take crime reports when a crime has occurred, not a crime that might occur. You know, he advised him at this point it was a civil matter, and if he couldn't get it unscrewed, feel free and call back. But I imagine he probably ended up just either unscrewing it, which I doubt, with a Chinese cellular company, or just throwing it away and going, I'm embarrassed to call back. I'm embarrassed back to call law enforcement.
I would think there would be a way to trace a serial number. Somewhere, somehow.
I don't know about a Chinese in China.
Oh, that's true.
This is like when we talk about these scams that are all offshore, and there's no way. Like, it stops. We can't chase these things offshore. But our current president, I heard, is having a meeting in China coming up. Maybe he could look into it.
Well, we'll ask him.
He looks into all kinds of things.
We'll get him on the phone.
I think you know how to get hold of him, don't you?
No, I got his personal number.
Oh,
yeah. We'll give him a call after the Justice.
I don't think you'd take my call. Right after the Justice. Tell him you're calling from the Justice Files.
Yeah. Oh, that'll get him right away. Yeah, absolutely. A case of indecent exposure. Deputies received a report that a male on the summit stage had exposed himself to a minor while on the bus and was touching himself inappropriately while doing so.
Yeah, you know, if you don't know already, those buses are armed with multiple cameras. Like, there's nothing you can do in the bus or around the bus that you won't be caught on camera.
Right.
So let's just say that. And if you didn't know that and you're here in Summit County, you should know that now. The sheriff is telling you, you're under surveillance. Anyways, this guy was exposing himself. He was intoxicated. When they ran him through the big computer, they found out that, believe it or not, Tom.
A warrant?
He had a restraining order that prohibited him from drinking alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So he got a ride to the Summit County Detention Facility to sort out his legal trouble.
Very good.
Yeah, we got both the drunk and someone that likes to expose himself on the bus, off the bus.
That's just got to be...
It's just weird shit, weird stuff,
just
right?
Weird stuff. Well, that's what we're here to talk about
weird
on Summit County Justice Files. We specialize in weird stuff. Another fraud item, a complex fraud scheme. It almost left a Silverthorne couple with over $150,000 gone to scammers. While using their home computer, an error message popped up alerting them that they had been hacked and directing them to call a phone number to get the issue repaired. We have audio.
I just had a Sergeant Calvin Jacobs call me, and I wanted to verify him. I'm having an issue with identity theft. and I need to know that he actually works for the Silverthorn Police Department to start with.
Okay. So you received a call from
Sergeant Calvin Jacobs. He said his badge number was 4841. And he said that Chris Braden, B-R-A-I-D-E-N, was his
That's not my
chief.
Fault.
It's not
and
me.
When did you receive this call?
Oh, when did we get this call? About 10:15. About 10:15 this morning.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to send this out. I know that you're having some issues with some identity theft, but please be sure to answer any blocked, restricted, or unknown numbers.
So this was a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, a good, bad one. You know what I mean? Like, this is really unfortunate for these people. Again, older couple targeted, you know, retired couple. They did get this message, as you had said, that popped up on their computer. They called the phone number that popped up on their computer. And the person answered the phone, identified themselves from Microsoft. And they were told that a hacker had broken into their computer, stolen their identity, and was using it for gambling and pornography. So that kind of rattled the retired, the calm, quiet retired couple.
Right.
Then Microsoft, the fake Microsoft, transferred them to the Federal Trade Commission.
Surely they did. Oh, my.
Just remember our disclaimer that we try to find levity in this. This is really unfortunate, but I mean, now we're transferring people around now. First we called Microsoft. I'm going to put you in touch with the Federal Trade Commission.
Microsoft has a direct line, and they transfer people frequently to the Federal Trade Commission.
So the Federal Trade Commission had them transfer $200,000 from their bank account over to a different bank account. And then instructed them to wire over $150,000 to a gold broker. And that this gold broker was going to deliver gold bars to them. And then the next morning, a courier would come by and pick up those gold bars. And they were to relinquish the gold bars to the courier.
Okay.
So far, the only thing legit in this was the gold courier.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because they're trying to launder the money they just stole, like all in the same one fell swoosh, right? The old couple said, that's fine, but when the courier comes tomorrow, I want a cop here too. I want to know that this is legit.
Yeah.
Courier shows up the next morning. The couple says, where's the cop? And courier didn't speak great English. made a phone call, I guess, to his boss, who didn't speak great English. Another clue, right?
Yeah.
And when the elderly couple wouldn't give up the gold bars, the courier left. And then so that's when she calls 911. And we get up there, a couple of deputies get up there, and we try to unsuccessfully do a reverse sting where we try to get the couple to call the courier back to say, come pick up the gold bars.
Right.
And we had a couple cops waiting behind the door for them. But they didn't go. They didn't take the bait.
So did they abandon the gold bars?
They abandoned the gold bars.
Real gold.
Yeah, real gold.
Okay.
So in other words, if you think about this, electronically they stole the money, they got the money to transfer. Then they said, "Now we're going to give you a link to a gold broker. We want you to convert that money into gold. And then we're going to send a courier to pick up the gold." So in other words, they've effectively laundered the money. Do you know what I mean? Now they have gold bars, nothing to trace.
Yeah.
But, you know, thank God. The serious side of this is they had the gold bars, so they didn't lose anything in the end.
So they had the full value of the money in the gold bars.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't catch the bad guy. But more importantly, they weren't hurt. Like, this is an elderly couple that someone knows there's $150,000 of gold bars right behind the door, and they're lucky this person didn't pull a gun, didn't charge in the house. But oftentimes these fraudsters, you know, just hire, you know, people that don't know any better, like an Uber driver. Like, I need you to go to 123 Main Street and pick up a package, and they don't really know what they're doing. Hmm. And sometimes they're involved in it. But this guy, this crook at the door kind of got the spidey sense to, like, I better leave, and just left.
Wow.
So it all ended up fine, but wow, this is another big one. of these scams that we talk about. They would have lost $200,000.
Is there even a local gold broker?
I don't know where it can. I not that I know of.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying gold either.
Right. Well, that's okay.
Maybe
that's
we don't know, Tom. Because hold on, let me Google that.
Yeah.
Gold broker, Summit County.
Hey Siri, where is a gold broker near me?
I have to imagine they came out of Denver.
Probably.
But you think even at that point that someone would have said, well, you know, the gold broker, unless they're in on it, would have said, why is this old couple all of a sudden buying $200,000 worth of gold bars?
Buyer beware.
Buyer beware. Just like the cell phone from China.
Yeah. Criminal mischief on the next item. A report of vandalism was received after someone saw a construction hard hat and a safety vest on the bronze elk in the roundabout off I-70 in Frisco. They thought that perhaps the construction crew working nearby had done it. They were concerned that our elk statue was damaged.
Hey, Tom, I blame this on one of your listeners or one of our listeners on Thursday morning, because you and I, when the 203 construction, so people that don't know what we're talking about, 203 is the number of an exit in Silverthorne off I-70. And at that roundabout, there's been a bronze elk for, 20 years now?
Oh,
maybe?
At least, yeah.
And someone in the community always dresses that elk up for whatever
holiday.
Whatever holiday. Yeah. Like, it's June. I'm surprised the elk's not celebrating gay pride. Right. But now that we've said that, someone's going to go do that.
The rainbow elk
but
is
if you
yet
remember,
to come.
When we first started talking about the 203 construction, and I said they were going to get rid of the roundabout and the elk had to go, and we were wondering, like, oh my God, what's going to happen to the elk? Because people dress up that elk all the time, and it wouldn't be surprising if that elk turned into a construction worker. And here we have, I blame this on Tom Fricke at Crystal 93.
It's my fault.
It's Tom's.
I take entire responsibility.
because we talked about it on the radio, and one of Tom's faithful listeners here in the community said, I'm not only going to be talked on the radio, but they're going to talk about me on the Justice Files, because awesome. I'm going to dress that elk up.
All right. Congratulations, you made it to the Justice Files.
The only thing I tried to find out from the deputy, and I couldn't do it in time for this, is tell me you took a picture with the elk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, a selfie.
Tell me you took a picture with the elk in a construction uniform.
There has to be
a
photo
somewhere.
Or, I don't
know, get a bunch of construction workers and gather them around for a group photo or something.
It didn't happen unless there was a picture.
People aren't as funny as you and I.
Yeah.
No sense of humor.
We're a little twisted that way.
We are twisted. We've been doing it too long.
There is an instance of a fight. Deputies responded to a home in unincorporated Blue River following a report of an altercation between two parents regarding a high school student who was supposed to be a designated driver.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Blue River. I don't know the actual address.
Okay.
And there's a parent trying to beat up another parent because one parent stopped a kid from driving drunk. Yep.
Okay.
And the guy's driving away now, and I'm gonna give you his license plate if he gets in his car.
Did anybody actually get physical, like put hands on each other?
Yes. He came up and pushed. And he's in his face right now, so he didn't get back in his truck, but he's up here screaming. And he's getting ready to get real physical here.
Whoops.
Well, his wife, we got out.
Story.
I'll tell you the whole story.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a party up there.
Yep.
You know, and I don't want to get the homeowners in trouble, but they're good friends of ours.
Okay.
They got in trouble.
One particular kid.
Who wasn't invited.
Who kind of wasn't invited, and my son was invited.
Okay.
And plan was this boy, he's 18, he was driving.
Okay.
And I made it perfectly clear to him, being responsible for that, don't get in the car if anybody's driving.
Sure.
And sure enough, I see the young kid that's supposed to be driving my kid around tonight.
Okay.
I called him out on it.
Okay.
So I kind of threw him out of the party.
Okay.
He's 18 years old. I told him to get the fuck out.
Okay.
You know? Next thing you know, he leaves. We get my wife, we get like 30 texts. Okay. Or no, she calls us. She didn't text. She kept on calling. Starts saying, oh, you yelled at my kid. You're an adult. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. I was like, whatever. Your son's 18 years old, first of all. He's an adult. And I said he was supposed to be the designated driver, and he was going to be driving my kid around, and I caught him drinking. And I let him know.
Okay.
So she gets on the phone, and she starts threatening me. And the wrath is coming. The wrath is coming. Okay. My husband, I was going to come up and kick your ass.
Okay.
The Summit County way.
And I'll tell you what went down.
Sure.
I was like, oh, well, you threatened my kid. I was like, I didn't threaten your kid. I threw your kid out of the party.
Okay.
And then he was like fired up. And he comes up, gives me a good shove, you know.
Okay.
And it kind of, you know, I did give him one a little back.
You know,
he was a big guy your size, you know.
So what do we want to do with all this?
Nothing.
Okay. I was just scared.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. What is your...
My role in this is my house.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Our neighbors. So, yeah.
Okay, you're the person I wanted to talk to then. So, yeah, what's going on?
We are having a graduation party and everyone is here. Sam, this is my son.
You can hear how many people there are. This is in the street.
Okay.
Oh, really? This is outdoors. Out in the street.
We have a station right there with a breathalyzer and making sure that the DD person that's saying that they're the DD.
How much sense does that make?
Okay.
We had an unfortunate altercation with a dad.
That's why we're here.
Okay. Yeah. Figured. And that dad saw him have a beer, and he freaked out and said, you told me you were going to be my son's DD, and you need to get the hell out of here, which I was mad at that dad. I was like, why did you tell him to leave if you saw that?
Okay.
And I was like, because that's what our main purpose of having this little station and the breathalyzer.
Sure.
So,
don't try to make logical sense out of this.
That's how it all started, and then they came up here, and it was not good, and
mom was,
I did just make a very stiff cocktail because I was like, finally, was like, I'm off duty and I'm now gonna have.
She's off duty from the breathalyzer station.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna harp on it or give you too much of a hard time, but I am giving you a citation or summons actually. So you have to go to court for contributing to delinquency of minors. Quite frankly, could have written every adult here very easily. Again, not going to harp too much, but this is pretty crazy. We don't necessarily turn a blind eye to this stuff, but we're also not like actively looking to break up high school parties after graduation.
Right.
But when we get called to stuff like this and we're made aware of it, 100%. Then it puts us in a tough spot of where we like have to do something, right?
Yeah.
And this is quite a bit more than just like having your kids' friend group come over and hang out. Like this
is it's like our friend group too. Right?
Sure, but there's like hundreds of kids here. I mean, there's a good percentage of the high school that's here. You know.
Wow, I think there's more people at that party than there were at the Breckenridge Town Party.
Oh, I think so too.
Holy,
isn't that crazy?
Jeez.
Yeah, you and I had talked about this on the radio when it happened a couple weeks ago because, you know, it created such a stir both online, in the paper, everywhere, because it involved all local Summit County people. But this thing was completely out of control. There were, as he said, hundreds of kids. There was about 50 cars blocking the roadway.
Wow.
And the person that got cited, the homeowner, thought that it was okay to have this booze-filled party as long as she provided a sobriety station where someone could take a breathalyzer test before they get in their car.
How does somebody find a sobriety station breathalyzer? Are those available for rent?
I don't even know what one looks like. I have a feeling it's homemade.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, I mean, the audio speaks for itself. I mean, the deputies took action. Like he said, we could have written literally every adult and every kid for a minor in possession.
Yeah.
Because everybody was hammered. Everybody was parked all over the place. We started towing cars, which is what really started pissing people off at the party.
Right.
Because we explained to them that, you know, they didn't have a parking permit. you know, which they could have done online very easily. And they had cars that were literally blocking access had there been an emergency, medical emergency at the party that we had to get to. Couldn't get on the street.
Oh, my gosh.
So we just started calling tow trucks and towing those cars away.
So did the party kind of dissipate after all of that?
But of course, you know, it's law enforcement that ends up holding the bag of shit. You know what I mean? Like, we're to blame.
Right.
Boo, sheriff's office. You broke up. You know what I mean?
Broke up the party. Boo.
It's like, are you kidding me?
Let's first of all look at the age of the participants of the party.
Are you talking about the parents or the kids?
Let's talk about both, okay? And who's responsible?
Wow.
Well, nobody wanted to take that whole thing on responsibility. Well, that's a little too much.
And as the deputy explained, you know, we didn't go hunting for this party. Yeah. We got a call there that two parents were fighting, and it was because one parent trusted another kid that said, I'm going to be the DD tonight, and I'll make sure your kid safe. Can we go to the party? And then the parents showed up there and actually saw the kid that was supposed to be driving his kid around drinking.
Jeez.
Oh, God.
Well, kids. That's just another lesson learned on how to party smart and how to not party.
Is there partying smart?
Partying smart.
Not the things we never get the smart ones.
No,
you and I
know
we,
it.
We wouldn't be able to. It wouldn't be funny to talk about on the air.
We get the ones where they call the cops.
Oh my God.
There is a disturbance. Deputies received a call reporting a fight between two neighbors in unincorporated Breckenridge. On scene, one man accused his neighbor of tearing his shirt during a verbal dispute over a previous altercation in town and made allegations of threats of violence.
What the heck is going on, man?
So, it's a long story. I live here. The guy across the street lives over there.
Okay. I'm sorry.
On the other side of the condo?
On the side of the condos.
Okay, what unit on the other side of the condo?
I don't know the number, but I know what condo it is. He just moved in about 3 months ago. The other day, he asked me for a ride to work, and I gave it to him. I knocked on his door because he threatened me at work. And he told me that I should be scared when I go home. Because I had to kick him out of the bar because he was there not ordering things. He was there bothering customers, asking people to buy him drinks. So I respectfully asked him to leave. He told me, no, call the cops. So I went to my owner of the restaurant, and I said, hey, this guy won't leave. So then I went up to him and kicked him out. Then 10 minutes later, he came back in the bar and said, where you live, you need to be scared. And then, you know, kicked him out of the restaurant. And
is that smart partying, Tom?
I knocked on this guy's door and let him know, I don't like to be threatened. I don't want to be afraid. If anything ever happens to my condo, my cats, my car, my motorcycle, I'm calling the cops instantly. When I knocked on his door, I patted myself down. I showed him I have no weapons on me. He was like, what, do you want to fight me? And I was like, no, you threatened me. I was like, I want to make sure that everything is cool.
Was there anything
and
physical
then
tonight? Was there anything
he physical? Brought out a taser and hit me with a taser.
Where?
He's like barely got me on the arm with the taser, and I had to push him off. And then Phil
just another sleeping night in Summit County.
And I had to defend myself with this taser. I straight up heard the bzzz, bzzz, and I'm sitting there wrestling him like this, and then he rips my fucking shirt off.
Okay.
And then he tried dragging me into his condo.
Let's take a breath for a second, okay? Yeah. You're safe now.
Take a breath.
We're at 10,000 feet. Take a breath.
Not taser. Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. Oh, wow.
So that night, after the deputies got done talking to both parties, like often happens, they each decided that they want, you know, they're neighbors.
Right.
Bro. They're bras. You know what I mean? And they didn't want to press charges.
Oh, man.
Until the next morning.
Oh!
When one of them woke up and found a huge footprint size dent in his car.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
He alleged that neighbor kicked his car. And, you know, we were unable to prove it, but at the time, but he wanted now to press charges because now he's found a dent in his car. Didn't matter that he got tased and his shirt ripped. It's the dent in the car that threw him over the edge.
Oh, so were there charges filed?
If you tase me, I won't press charges, but man, you dent my car. No,
that's
I'm telling
it.
You.
That's it. I'm throwing down.
That's it.
Ah.
Yeah. So some of these, you know, we spend an inordinate amount of time on that end up going Nowhere. But they're like, you know what? We're bros.
Yeah.
You know the drinking bros, like, yeah. I love you, bro.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Oh, bro.
Oh, bro.
I'm sorry.
Man, it was all my fault, man. Oh. Never, yeah, it's all good. Right, bro?
Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to kick your car.
When you go in and shut the door, I'm going to kick your car.
That's one job in Summit County, or actually anywhere, that I would never entertain.
Bartender.
Yeah. I never wanted to be a bartender, and I've always really felt sorry for the guys behind the bar that have to deal with the clientele. It's like, dude, yes. You got them liquored up, you got them that way, yeah. And now you got to deal with them. But yes. Still, it's
yeah, and oftentimes the women behind the bar.
Oh boy,
you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, yeah. How do they? I guess it's all about tips.
I guess it all
wasn't ever my thing either,
man. Well, bless your heart, bartenders.
There you go. Shout out to the bartenders.
Man, absolutely. Let's talk about this welfare check, a poster on one man's junk on Facebook. If you want to feel your IQ points drop about 100, immediately just log on to one man's junk, and it's like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's one of those Facebook pages. A poster caught someone's attention.
Almost as entertaining as the Justice Files.
Almost. Almost. So this person requested a welfare check on the man after he posted several things about returning to heaven, as well as posts on his own profile about his favorite guns.
Hey, I don't know if this is the right number to report this to, but there was a Facebook post on whatever, one man's junk. And a guy wrote heaven in a question mark and an exclamation point, and then I pulled up his profile, and he keeps talking about comfort plus heaven. Where is this at? Heaven. And then he wrote something on May 23rd, hanging out with my Jaguar mink. Wait, also going to make a $1 billion bet. I think it's heaven soon, and I have a treasure map for a Bible. And then there was one point.
What's this person's name?
It says he's from Houston, but it's on the Summit page.
What's your phone number?
He mentioned I love the Lord God Almighty and my 45, and 45 my favorite caliber. So that was like, okay, I better report this, even though I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, so my understanding, it doesn't sound like you actually know this person. You're just seeing these posts on.
No, I don't have any, I don't know who it is. I know nothing. Okay.
I know nothing.
The first one 3 hours ago.
But I read from men's junk.
A lot of people are checking in on him.
Okay, how many has he posted total?
So just one today, and then when I looked on his profile, so that was on the one man's junk page, and when I looked at his profile, that's where I saw the other stuff, all the mention of heaven, and then the mentioning the 45, having his favorite is a 45. But that was April 2nd. It was a while ago.
Do you have screenshots of that at all?
I can give them to you, yeah.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to send you a text really quick. If you can just send them to this number, and then I'll share it with the officer. So they don't have to go looking for it. They can just see what you're seeing, and then they'll probably reach out for further information. So just look out for that, okay?
Okay, sounds good. I'll do that right now.
All right.
Okay.
Is it safe to say? Is it safe to say?
Whatever you're going to say, it's safe.
If there's a posting on one man's junk on Facebook, that any reaction to that, and especially calling law enforcement, is highly not recommended. Wow.
You know, it turns out to be someone that actually was living out of state. He wanted to move to Summit County, and he told deputies that he does love guns. He's from Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of Summit County people love guns.
Sure.
He does love guns, and he thought that if he, on one man's junk, if he talked about heaven and God and religious stuff, that would appeal to people. I'm not sure who. And then if he talked about guns, that would also, like, two different wide nets to try to someone to say, come live with me in Summit County.
You seem like a real stable person that I met on Facebook.
And he was convinced that someone, this would appeal to two different broad groups of people, gun lovers and religious fanatics.
All right. And this woman was neither, I'm guessing.
And she was neither. And he said, I never intended to infer that I was going to hurt anyone or myself. I was just trying to reach out to as many people as I could because I want to move to Summit County. Should have said Ohio, Colorado, Utah, because there's three Summit counties.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you got the wrong Summit county.
I think he had the wrong one.
Maybe you want to go to Utah with the Mormon wives, you know?
Or just you wanted to go to Ohio.
Or Ohio.
Yeah.
I just thought with all the religious stuff, maybe it was the Mormons. Maybe he was trying to get to Summit County, Utah. But I don't think the guns would fly. And
so, I mean, when somebody calls in and right away they're commenting, it's a post on Facebook.
It's like, junk.
Really? Come on. You're calling law enforcement over this. That's just,
yeah, there was a bill that tried to get through legislation just this last session that the governor vetoed that was going to make mandatory to these social media platforms to report anything like this to law enforcement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it would have created a huge burden on local law enforcement.
Oh, huge.
You know what I mean? Because literally they would be mandated to go, great, we're going to send everything to local, you know, we certainly don't have the capacity.
Great, you get to be the Facebook police.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Geez.
So
thank goodness that ain't happening. But again, if you see something on Facebook, just take it for what it's worth.
These social media platforms do try to screen for real threats.
Oh, they do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What this guy was posting was not a threat
at all. It's just what she interpreted as a threat. And she interpreted really wrong.
from the gun-loving, God-fearing Texan.
Another instance of fraud. Two men living in unincorporated Breckenridge were attempting to renew their Mexican passports. And instead of using typical channels, contacted someone on Facebook.
Here we go.
They were advertising passport assistance on Facebook. They sent basic information and then images of personal documents along with their photographs. Oh, boy. Another Facebook item.
Another Facebook item. Another computer link. Another, hey, you know, this thing costs, you know, $500 to do, and they're saying they'll do it for $25. Do you
awesome.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So of course they sent, they clicked on the link. They transferred $300 over to these people, and never heard from them again. I know you're shocked.
Surprise! Surprise!
Never heard, and neither did we.
Oh, man,
we can't chase these things down.
No.
People have just Tom, I don't think we could talk about it anymore unless we just had a Justice Files fraud broadcast. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the only way we could talk about it more than we talk about it.
Stay tuned. That may be the basis for a whole new podcast series.
Just fraud.
Just fraud.
Yeah, or we'll go into a consulting business about how not to click.
There
just
we
don't
go.
Don't click on stuff.
And now send me a check for $1,000 for your consulting fee. Thank you.
Click on this link.
Yes, click on this link. But not those other links. Just this one. Just this
one's safe.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, stuff happens on Facebook.
Stuff.
And it's usually not good.
Oh, my God.
There was a fraud instance. A national bank called deputies due to suspected fraud after noticing several large wire transfers from one of their customers in another country.
Yeah. So this is what, you know, this is the what I was saying about, like, the gold transfer on that other fraud.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that the person that got the gold broker, if they're honest and ethical, would have gone, someone asking for $200,000 for the gold bars, and we're sending, you know, here, you know, and our local banks, by the way, here in Summit County are really good at this, especially for the elderly, caught this, this wire transfer and notified law enforcement. The unfortunate thing for this is that this person had already lost $100,000, had already sent $100,000.
Wow.
What's really sad is we run into some elderly people that, you know, have a lot of money here that get trapped on this loop. And when these fraudsters from other countries get them, I mean, it's crazy how far people will go.
Yeah.
Because they're scared to death or been threatened or been told that some wild story, and they don't want to believe law enforcement. They don't want to believe their bank. And they will go to, like this person, they'd already transferred $100,000. And the second time the bank said, whoa, 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 whoa. Stand by, Tom. We're going to call law enforcement. And you're like, no, it's my money. I can do what I want. And these people actually argue. It's really unfortunate. And unfortunately, we don't catch them until they've Well, I shouldn't say we don't. We never catch the suspects because, again, they're in another country. But we never catch these fraud. We rarely catch these frauds before something's already been committed. They've already lost something. And then they go, huh, maybe I should. Or someone calls for them, like the bank.
Yeah.
But God bless our banks. Shout out to our local banks that call law enforcement regularly when they think something doesn't make sense.
Big shout out. And shout out to any elderly rich people that want to give their money away.
Tom has a link.
My name is spelled F-R-I-C-K-E. That's Tom Fricke.
Don't you have like a Venmo or something, Tom?
It should.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Just send the check to the station. That's okay. I'll take it off your hands for you.
Don't send it to the sheriff. Send it to the station.
Right.
I want nothing to do with Tom's.
It's all Crystal 93. We'll blame it on the radio. There was a water assist on Lake Dillon. Canoers out on the reservoir called for help when they found themselves out on the water, struggling to make it back to shore due to strong winds. And those winds are wicked when they kick up on the reservoir.
Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
I'm out in the canoe, but the wind, like, I can't turn this boat around.
Okay, what color is your canoe?
It's red.
Okay, are you alone, or is there anyone else in there with you?
It's me and my daughter. She's okay. On a blue shirt. I'm wearing an army shirt.
Okay, do you have life jackets on board?
We do.
One of our boat deputies out on the water right now, so we did get this aired out to her, and she is headed your way. So she's going to head out there to assist you guys and help you get back.
Okay.
Okay. You guys stay safe out there, okay?
All right. Why don't you guys hop out?
This is our boat
go
ranger.
Sentinel Guyverson.
I'm looking for a red kayak with two people in it. Are they at your 20?
A-firm, red canoe, adult female, juvenile female. I'm picking them up and heading your way.
Affirmative, canoe. Okay, I'll grab the other two that are off of Dock Island. Thanks.
Got it. All right, why don't you guys come on? You just have a seat right here, and we'll try to get the canoe on.
Come on. Yeah, my other daughter, they're stuck also.
Oh, they're, I think they just called me on the radio. They're picking them up over on the other side. So, yeah, just have a seat right here. Need a blanket?
Got a blanket?
Yeah.
Let's get you one. You look cold.
Let you guys get wrapped up in that. All right, we're going to get out where it gets a little deeper, and then I'm going to have to reset the canoe, and we'll get you guys headed back toward the marina. I'm assuming you guys came out of Frisco, right? The one back here? Yep. Okay.
I'm guessing you get a lot of calls like that during the summertime. People out recreation on Lake Dillon. Then those winds come up.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah.
As you're warned, as you're renting the equipment, like the winds come up, storms form fast over the lake.
Yep.
You know, it's a lake surrounded by mountains and canyons. And, you know, we have this great program that starts every summer where we have rangers all the time on the lake that, as you just said, are constantly rescuing people. What a great resource for the people that are recreating out there. I mean, this is a perfect example, a family of four, all in four canoes that got completely separated.
Wow.
In this windstorm. And we were able to reunite them and put them in a boat and get them to safety. And it's pretty cool the amount of rescues these rangers conduct on our lake. And another thing you can't quantify is how many lives they might have saved.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Knock on wood, we have not had a drowning in this lake in a number of years.
So what is the Sheriff's Department doing for a staging area since the Pine Cove campground area with the trailer and all that, where you usually headquarter out of, is high and dry?
High and dry. The lake is just incredibly, incredibly low.
Yeah, it is.
But yes, we've been the butt end of several jokes about, do you guys like hike out to your boat? Do you? But the Dillon Marina has been gracious enough because we can't even go to Frisco Marina.
Right, yeah.
The Dillon Marina has been gracious enough where we dock over there now hoping the next year is better. But the good news is, you know, we had talked about that we got this federal grant funding through Congressman Joe Neguse's office for building down there a permanent structure. So what a perfect time to do it when the water level's so low.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I think you should put that structure on rails so you can move it down, slide it down rails to the closer water level.
That would be good.
Hey, think about that.
Hey.
That might add another $1 million to the cost, but, you know, what the heck? It's only money.
I'll call the congressman.
I'll give him a call.
He'll
write you another
million.
Check.
Yeah, you got an extra million?
And bring up another one of those big checks.
We'd like to see that one. The big ones.
Yeah, the really big ones. Next item, in trespassing. A second homeowner was notified by a neighbor that there were two people camping just outside the border of his property on U.S. Forest Service land.
I'm calling you from Denver. We recently received, like a couple minutes ago, it's a neighborhood. I think there's like 10 properties there, or 11 properties.
Okay.
So one of the people that lives up there reported the fact that he identified an individual that seems to be car camping on the fringe of our property. And in order to get there, he had to go through private lands. And there are multiple signs there that say it's private, no forest access, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the second time this has happened.
Yeah.
And my request is somebody, if they're available, I have the person who was up there and identified what's going on took some pictures and texted them to us.
Okay.
They're not very clear, but they show something's there, a tent or a car or both. Mm. But he's up there.
Okay.
So
that's your
again,
neighbor.
Actual neighbor, like right next door. He lives in the area.
He lives in the
neighborhood.
Okay.
And he's the one that is up there and sent everyone this picture. So my feeling is these individuals, if they're still not there, I mean, I can send you the picture, but
yeah,
if, you know, they're trespassing and they need to be cited and then we need to put a stop to it. This is like the second time this has happened.
We'll get this over to a deputy.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no worries. Take care.
Bye.
Was there trespassing?
There was. As you know, Tom, there are a few neighborhoods here in Summit County where it's private property that backs up a subdivision that backs up to U.S. Forest Service, and there is no access to the forest other than
going
from other places
property,
without going through private property.
Yeah.
Or the only way to access it is, if you came around the back, is through a different trail system. And so this is one of these things where someone was car camping and decided they were going to drive through the private neighborhood. And they were actually kind of parked on private property / federal land. And they were cited and told to leave. But it's just interesting. You know, sometimes I wonder how people find themselves. Or I wonder, do they just pick a road and go, I'm going to drive to the end of this road.
And camp.
And yeah. But, you know, I mean, oftentimes we have problems, as you know, at trailheads with people parking because they, you know, unless you're from here, you don't understand that people don't fence off their properties here. And so we get to a trailhead and there's people parked way up on people's, you know, people are calling going, I just came home from the market and there's someone on my front yard. You know what I mean? There's 10 cars parked there because one person does it.
Everybody else can.
Everybody does it.
Must be okay.
Yeah, so just be careful where you park. Be careful where you camp. You know, there's plenty of campgrounds here. Plenty of them.
And there are some where you don't have to pay.
There are some dispersed camping where you don't have to pay.
Absolutely.
But
just got to know where those are.
Just don't camp on private property or go through someone's private property to get to the forest. Can't
do that. So he got a citation.
Yeah, and told to move on.
Do we know how long he was camping there?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably not long because he said his neighbor had just called and said that, but it was the second time they had someone doing that.
popular place that shouldn't be.
I'm telling you. Out.
Let's talk about something from the detective file. Theft and fraud in March. Patrol took a theft report which had occurred north of Silverthorne. The female victim explained that she checked her bank account and only had $1.80 left. She noticed miscellaneous charges and PayPal payments that she did not authorize going back to February. Many payments were made to the male suspect, who she met in Breckenridge in September of last year. Interesting.
Yeah, so this is, it probably started in a bar. And they were not girlfriend and boyfriend, but she did take this guy in for a little while until she realized that he's no good and threw him out. So, I mean, there was no domestic violence alleged or that occurred, but when she found this, $1.87 left in her account, you know, through a series of, you know, to show that we take everything serious. I mean, yeah. Our detectives threw a series of search warrants to PayPal and other various social media vendors, were able to track it back to this guy, and he stole from her, like, $2,100.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, through, you know, 10 bucks here, 100 bucks there, and just slowly drained her account until it was $1.87.
Wow.
But the detectives found him and issued a warrant for his arrest after all these search warrants, found him, arrested him, booked him, and don't know if she got her money back or if she'll get her money back, unless he's stealing it from somebody else, I imagine. Because if he had it, why would he have stolen it?
Exactly.
Right.
Well,
maybe when he gets out of jail, he can start all over again and pay her back.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out.
Then we'll talk about the Justice Files. Hey, it's really weird. It's a really similar case to that last one.
Stay tuned.
Girl meets guy in bar, takes him home, stays for a while.
That seems like a story that we have heard of the Justice Files a few times in the past. And I'm sure we'll hear more in future episodes. That is a wrap for this week's episode of the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
It sure doesn't. And just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every criminal case. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases. And remember that all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, maybe think twice. Because it never ends well, and you just might end up as our next feature.
And we will laugh at you.
we will find some way to make fun of it.
Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And you can also find the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you. See you on the radio. Or hear you on the radio.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you here.
See you and here.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there.